commentary through a Black perspective lens. The program tendered both support and controversy, framing national discourse around identity and social change. The long-awaited return comes with classic soul music and jazz that showcase artists Billie Holiday, Curtis Mayfield, Gil Scott-Heron, and important artists of the era. So tune in for this special series, Saturdays, September 13th and 20th, from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., The Motif.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to a song from the Organic Groove CD by David Ornette Cherry. Find out more at davidornettecherry.com. Today, we're talking about a playwright who is much loved in Portland, August Wilson. The Piano Lesson is about to open the seventh season at Portland Playhouse, and director Kevin Jones and actress Chantal DeGroat are here to talk about August Wilson's The Piano Lesson. It's the sixth production of Wilson's American Century Cycle at Portland Playhouse. We'll also talk to Kevin Jones of the August Wilson Red Door Project, an organization he co-founded and now runs as artistic director. So stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. With me in the studio is director Kevin E. Jones. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I think this is your third time here.
I think.
Yeah, maybe four. I lose count. And actress nice Chantal DeGroat.
Hello, Dee Mae. How are you?
Welcome from August Wilson's The Piano Lesson at Portland Playhouse. And welcome both to Stage and Studio. It's so good to have you here. Now, Kevin, I'm curious about how many August Wilson plays you have directed.
Oh,
I'm asking you to do math
three,
now.
Three.
How many have you performed? Because you're an accomplished actor, and I saw you in Gem of the Ocean.
That's really fabulous. Oh, thank you.
So how many have you performed in?
Well, my first play was Fences. I did, four. Yeah, Fences. Oh, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Gem of the Ocean, Radio Golf. Yeah.
Four plays. And Chantal, how many August Wilson, or is this your first one?
This is my first full August Wilson play.
Oh.
And it is remarkable. It's a wonderful experience.
I liken it to Shakespeare, doing August Wilson. Not that I know, because I haven't been in one, but when I see an August Wilson play, I liken it to Shakespeare. Because it is just as challenging language-wise and character-wise, and there's so much depth, and it's so epic.
Yeah, and I remember the first time I did a Shakespeare, I felt the same way. I was like, this is my first Shakespeare play. I've never done this before. I was totally freaked out. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done, actually, a lot of Shakespeare plays, and when Piano Lesson fell in my lap, I realized, oh, I have to work on this very much in the same way, in the language and the poetry and the nuance and rhythms. And yeah,
it was great training doing Shakespeare and then August Wilson.
Absolutely,
right? Go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. The Piano Lesson is about a brother and a sister in post-depression Great Migration era of Pittsburgh during 1936, and the brother character wants to sell a cherished heirloom piano so he can purchase land. The sister, Bernice, played by you, Chantal, doesn't want to let go of the piano because not only is it family inheritance, but it's carved right on the piano. It's a story of the family's history, and the whole conflict is about family and cultural legacy. And those are very powerful themes for me. I'm sure there's more conflicts in there, but that really struck me, is that, you know, does one hold on to the past and explore that and keep that and cherish that? Or do you move on, you know, to something new, which is what the brother wants to do?
Yeah, that's a big thing. The cultural conflict that goes on in terms of what makes the most sense. Does it make sense to move forward into the future, let go of the past, or how do you take the past, your history, your stories, no matter how oppressive or painful they may have been, and carry that into the future and make sense out of it?
On a personal level, Kevin, what does this Piano Lesson mean to you?
Oh, boy. That's so funny. I go right there. Well, you know, I think for me, the big thing is the conflict that you just spoke of, in that this is an African-American conflict that still exists in our culture today around history and culture. What does it mean to embrace our history, our past? We have a young generation of African-Americans who are really invested in moving forward, and I really support that. August Wilson was really at a place in his journey where he was still examining that conflict. And you know, the great migration was something that we just take for granted. We just assume that it makes the most sense to leave the place where you suffered, where you were oppressed, where you were kidnapped and thrown in jail, to go to a place of hope and promise. And the thing that he struggled with was that necessarily the best thing to do? Because we're agrarian by nature, we live off the land, we're farmers, and that's who Boy Willie is. And he's saying, hey, I got some land, first time in my life, first time in the history of our family, we have land, and I'm going to build on that land, and I'm going to make something of ourselves. And I think that's the journey for me, is how do I take where I am today, my life, what I've experienced in my life, and apply it to my future at 62 years old. What's the next step for me? And I have to bring that history, that heritage of that African-American history with me. And for so long, I was told that I shouldn't.
It's not separate at all. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, talking with director Kevin Jones and actress Chantal DeGroat from August Wilson's The Piano Lesson at Portland Playhouse. That opens September 24th. And for more info, you can visit portlandplayhouse.org or stageandstudio.org. Now, you talked about what it means to you, Kevin. I'm wondering, Chantal, what does The Piano Lesson mean to you on a very personal level, from the gut? What do you feel from it?
Well, my gut is,
or the heart
is opening up and spilling out is what is happening. It's a profoundly deep and painful play that brings forth something in me that I haven't explored in the theater, and something that, from working on this, I've realized that I've not explored in my personal life. It's something that I haven't, or I've been able to not explore. Hmm. And thinking of my heritage, I'm of mixed race, and so I have a need to balance out who I represent and how I do it. And this play has unearthed some painful realizations in my life. And working on this character, she also has painful realizations that she has to work on right now in this play at this time, because she stuffed them down for so long that she is broken and she is going to explode, and she's just trying to get through day to day. And so this has offered me the opportunity to explore something that I have left behind, and that is parts of who I am as a Black American, and trying to discover what it is to have Black family, because I was raised with my mother's side of the family, who I love, and they're Irish-Italian. So my father was not there, and that is where my Black roots come from. So this play has allowed me to feel for the first time what it could be like to have Black family and what that means. And it means something different than having white family.
As a biracial Asian American, I can totally relate to what you're saying. Do you feel a sense of also acceptance in doing this play?
I do. And I think the acceptance starts with me accepting a part of myself that I didn't even know I wasn't accepting.
Exactly.
I'm walking around, this is me.
That's
and
beautiful.
Then I realized,
that's
there's
beautiful.
Something else.
Right. I love hearing that.
And then
that.
Other people can identify with that, because now I'm taking it on. So the acceptance starts there. And then I realize, I'm in the club.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you know that, Kevin? I mean, that's just beautiful to hear us talk about that. I saw this play in the 90s, and it was quite a long time ago. But you know what? It's still haunts. It was actually here in Portland at a theater company that isn't around anymore. It was Willamette Repertory.
Oh, Willamette Repertory.
It still haunts me. Mm. The images, the sort of haunting nature of the appearance of, as I recall, a ghost in there, and just that symbolism. And you know, it's for me the theme of cherishing the past versus letting go of it for material security or for whatever, you know, to get ahead in life. It really really reaches down to the core of a person, you know. And what you spoke of seems to me that you really had to reach into yourself to play Bernice.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's been a blessing and a curse.
I've witnessed that in her. I mean, I knew Chantel before we started the show, and you know, just in the work she does with the Red Door Project and the monologue competition, you know, and she's been very open about you know, her biracial heritage. And it was actually we have a couple of actors that are biracial, or one other actually. And I'm really happy about that. August Wilson was biracial, right? And I think that cultural mix is so important in terms of even just looking at this battle that goes on stage, and the fact that she, you know, this is her first August Wilson play is exciting to me as well, because she's such a good actress, and I knew that she could bring a very strong and powerful interpretation of this character, and including all that, the biracial aspect as well, you know.
Well, I love hearing this conversation. And, you know, when a person has a family history, especially that experiences trauma and tragedy, often there's an urge to forget about that past. And to me, the piano lesson is about that, to move, you know, about whether or not one, what does one lose if one doesn't remember one's past? Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, you know, when you talked about perhaps younger people not necessarily knowing the history that Wilson's plays write about, or that he wrote about in his plays, is there a generational difference in looking at Wilson's plays, do you think? You know, for people who are more familiar with that history, and then the newer generations, the younger generations?
You know, I think that there is, that's such a good point. The work that we do at with the August Wilson monologue competition is part of that very thing, working with the young people, seeing where they are in their understanding of the history. And I think that because it's not covered properly, thoroughly in schools, they know, yes, slavery existed. They know there were more black people in the South. They know that
maybe there was a migration.
There was this thing called blues. Maybe that there was a migration.
But it's not delved into in the depth that requires, I think, because it is so horrible. Because it is so crippling and so unimaginably evil, and that has trickled forward into today, and I think that's a big reason why we don't cover it. But you know,
perhaps, you know, whoever is in charge of our educational system, all the people that are in charge, might be uncomfortable.
Well, there's a lot of the N-word.
There's that.
You know, and that word is there and it exists.
So to get back to the piano lesson, there's a song that I was sent. It's called, all I know is that it's a prison work song. So Kevin, do you want to tell us what that is?
Sure. So one of August Wilson's plays, and I'll be short, is called Joe Turn Has Come and Gone. It's about a guy in the South who, during post-Civil War, and went around and stole black folks and put them in prisons and put them on plantations and put them to work. And one of the places that a lot of black men wound up was the Parchment Farm, which was the prison of that time. And you literally could wind up there for just being a vagrant, walking down the street and having not having a job or not having money, you could wind up in the Parchment Farm. And Parchment Farm prisoners were put to work, as they are today, and one of the places was railroads. They lined a lot of track during that time. A lot of people don't know that, but African American men and Asian American and the Native American community are responsible for all the railroads that we operate in today. Anyway, this song was a song that they would sing as a way to stay connected to the work and as a way to support each other and love each other and allow for the pain to just soothe through their body.
The way that sped up like that, I was imagining it was a train moving forward and pushing forward. Beautiful, beautiful work. Yeah. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts talking with director Kevin Jones and actress Chantal DeGroat from August Wilson's The Piano Lesson. Portland Playhouse opens September 24th. You can visit portlandplayhouse.org or stageandstudio.org for more info. Now, at the center of this piece, of the whole play, we have to talk about the piano.
Yeah.
And most productions have some kind of carving because that is the family history right there carved on the piano. Now, I understand that you also have a carving on the piano, and there's like three panels that I saw.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We posted it on KBOO.
Oh, I saw that with
stationstudio.org. And so tell me the stories that your carvings depict in the piano lesson.
Well, they. You mean like when you say my carving?
Well, it's a different. Every production has a different type of.
Oh, okay.
Choice in what they're depicting.
That's true. I'm just trying to think. I did piano lesson before too. I was in that, so we had the carvings in that.
Well, maybe it's the same. I don't know.
Oh gosh. Well, we got the carvings from another piano from another theater that actually did the piano lesson. So. I can say that they have to be, they're very specific because the Doker, who is the owner of the home where this play takes place, tells a story that's very specific and points out what these pictures mean. But one of the most important parts of the show for me to be able to do the show was to make sure, given the space, if you've been to Portland Playhouse, was that... The carvings were visible and they represented the aesthetic that was that August Wilson instructed us to portray in telling the story. So, So they're all we're very committed to making sure they're all wind up on the piano in a way that we can see some of them at least.
Well, Chantal, I love the character of Bernice. I mean, she's one of my favorites, and she's one of the strongest in a long line of strong female characters in August Wilson plays. And I was wondering if you might give us a few lines or maybe introduce her to us. Ooh. How do you see
sure.
Bernice?
Oh man. Bernice is a powerhouse, and Bernice is holding on. She's just holding on and going day to day, raising her child alone in a time when women were expected to be married and in a time when women were not regarded as important as men. And And so Bernice is, she's broken over the loss of her husband and her family heritage, the way her family, the way that they were slaves and the way that they died. And the women in her family are severely outnumbered by the men. So she's trying to get through in that kind of a, and kind of that kind of a world. And so when her brother comes and wants to sell the piano, it's shocking to her because this piano was cared for by her mother, who died alone because because Bernice's father was killed over saving this piano and bringing the piano to the family. So when her brother wants to sell it, I think she needs to, that is her protecting everything that she knows and holds dear in the family is in that piano.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a piece when her brother's telling her that he's going to sell it. You ain't gonna take that piano out of this house. Look at this piano. Look at it. Mama Ola polished that piano for 17 years. For 17 years she rubbed on it till her hands bled. And then she rubbed the blood in it, mixed it up with all the other blood on it. Every day that God breathed life into her body, she rubbed and cleaned and polished and prayed over it. Play something for me, Bernice. Play something for me, Bernice. Every day. I done cleaned it up for you. Play something for me, Bernice. You always talking about your daddy, but you ain't never stopped to look at what his foolishness cost your mama. 17 years worth of cold nights and an empty bed for what? For a piano? For a piece of wood? To get even with somebody. I look at you and you're all the same. You, Papa Boy Charles, Whining Boy Doka, Crawley. Y'all are like all this thieving and killing and thieving and killing, and what it ever lead to but more killing and more thieving. I ain't never seen it come to nothing. People getting burned up, people getting shot, people falling down their wells. It don't never stop.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That
damn
was incredible.
Yeah, Kevin had me work on that last night.
You have one powerful actress, and I'm sure the whole cast as well. This is going to be such a moving production. I'm just tearing up right now from that. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Actress Chantal DeGroat performing from The Piano Lesson by August Wilson. And The Piano Lesson is directed by Kevin Jones here. All shows are at Portland Playhouse at the church. That's located at 602 Northeast Prescott Street in Portland. Shows start September 24th and run through November 2nd, Wednesday through Saturday at 7:30 on Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 7:30 p.m., October 21st and 28th only, and Sundays at 7 p.m. Wow, you're going to be really busy, Chantal. October 12th and 19th only. There's an actor talk back on October 5th following the performance. And for more info, visit portlandplayhouse.org or go to stationstudio.org. And we have a pair of tickets. Wow. We have a pair of tickets, you guys, for the Wednesday, September 24th opening to The Piano Lesson. Oh, wow. And we're going to offer that to the first caller here. Don't call yet. Here's the number, 503-231-8187, 231-8187, Wednesday, September 24th, opening for The Piano Lesson. Kevin, in the time remaining, I want to get an update on what's happening at the Red Door Project. Chantal talked a little bit about some of the monologue, the competition that you've been working on. Can you give us an update?
Yeah. So, you know, our mission is to change the racial ecology of Portland using art. And so what we're continuing to look at the impact that we have in the community by way of working with theaters, engaging in different kinds of conversations, working with foundations. And we're right in the middle of our strategic plan, which I'm very excited about now because we're really honing in on what impact we can have and noticing the places where we're having the most impact. And one of those places is the working with the youth. So we are continuing with the August Wilson Monologue Competition. We are also looking at creating a learning institute for the monologue competition, whereby young people will actually be involved in producing it and delivering the product to the public. So yeah, we're very excited about that. The monologue competition, we have several presentations in schools right now already scheduled. We're looking forward to scheduling more. We're really going after some of the youth at risk that are out there right now, and we're happy. So if anybody's listening who wants to support us, please, please go on our website. That's that www.reddoorproject.org, and there's plenty of contact information there. You can email us, you can call us, you can, just... please help us in any way you can. Thanks.
Well, I have to say that it's open to young actors of many colors. Is that correct?
Actors of any colors.
Any colors. Because, you know, I have to admit, I was a little surprised when I went to see your videos, you know, that there were white actors doing Wilson. And then I had to step back and go, well, you know what? How else are you really going to understand his words, his plays, his monologues, if you don't perform them, if
exactly.
you don't read them out loud? Just like with Shakespeare, you know, you have to read it out loud. Yeah. So, I just have to say the tickets are gone for Portland
nice.
Playhouse's
See you there.
All
right.
The Piano Lesson. But yeah, how else are you going to do it if you don't, if you don't perform it? So I think kudos to you. And one other thing I wanted to say, you were featured in a recent Portland Mercury article by Susie Steffen about diversity in Portland theater. And it was a good discussion. And I want people to check it out at portlandmercury.com. But do you see progress in changing the racial ecology of Portland?
Okay, so how much time do we have?
We have 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll try to take it up in a minute.
I know. Here's your challenge.
So one of the things that I'm learning about engaging with the Portland theater community is that we keep wanting this to be a race issue, and that, how do we get more people of color into our theaters? And that conversation doesn't have a lot of legs as far as I'm concerned. What we need to start looking at is how do theaters need to evolve and to change internally so that they can be more welcoming to everybody. I mean, it's not just people of color that are turning their backs on the theater. It's many other people. So do I see that happening? I see theater as being a catalyst to change the racial ecology. I don't necessarily know whether or not the theaters as they exist today are the ones that will necessarily be that organization that changes the racial ecology. But I do see theater as a strong vehicle and art as a strong vehicle for changing it. And we are at the beginning of that precipice, I think.
I think it's starting to move.
Yeah.
It was dormant for a while, you know. It seemed like it laid low for a while, but I think it's starting to happen, you know. And this is part of why it's happening, the Red Door Project and being able to do August Wilson's plays, you know, on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I think audiences are also ready. I think audiences are made up of human beings that are ready to see a different kind of theater now that represents other people's stories. And they're demanding it. They all the shows that that are called the black shows in Portland, they tend to sell out and sell out quickly because those are stories that are being demanded to be told more regularly. And all the work that is happening with the Red Door Project and with the August Wilson Monologue Competition, it's all very timely, and especially with the atrocities that have been happening and coming more into the forefront again with Ferguson. And the attention that is needed there, it is directly connected to August Wilson's work.
Well, Kevin Jones and Chantal DeGroat, thank you so much for this great conversation. Break
thank
legs
you,
for your opening.
Fun.
Thank you, DeMay.
That's it for Stage and Studio. Thanks to engineer Janet Anderson. I'll have the show online later today at stageandstudio.org, as well as the podcast on iTunes. So like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter N studio, or tweet me at stage, the letter N studio. We're going out with more music by David Ornette Cherry at davidornettecherry.com. Till next time, I'm DeMay Roberts.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio 90.7. Up next, Art Focus is off today. Instead, we'll hear a program from the Catskill Review of Books featuring award-winning journalist Jess Bravin talking about his book on the Guantanamo terror courts.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Oregon Tradeswoman presentation, My Walk Has Never Been Average, on Friday, September 26th at 7 p.m. My Walk Has Never Been Average is a multimedia presentation based on the lives of women whose stories are rarely told. Adapted for the stage from interviews with Black women in all aspects of construction, these stories reveal great inner strength and accomplishment. That's My Walk Has Never Been Average on Friday, September 26th. 7 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland, Oregon. For more information, that can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to the Catskill Review of Books, a weekly program interviewing authors, hosted by Ian Williams and produced by Kevin Greff in the hydro-powered studios of WJFF in Jeffersonville, New York.
Hello, this is Ian Williams with the Catskill Review of Books. And this week I'm talking to Jess Bravin about his book, The Terror Courts, Rough Justice at Guantanamo Bay. Jess is the Supreme Court correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, an award-winning one, might I add. Very disturbing, because you lay it out fairly mercilessly what a departure the whole Guantanamo court system was. And yeah, it's never quite clear what the motives were. You know, on the one hand, there was a groundswell of, understandable vindictiveness and vengeance. And yet, on the other hand, there was a core of lawyers in the administration who seemed to be determined to amass as much power for the executive as possible and railroad this through almost as a demonstration of imperial presidential